I'm sure most of us have thoughts at times about our life after death, the end of our personal existence here on earth, a subject we don't normally like to discuss or even think about, especially when we consider the eternal consequences of our actions in this life. Just the fact that topic is part of my homily this morning may make some of you uneasy. But we shouldn't fear or become uneasy discussing our death. Our anxiety probably comes from the thought of separation from our loved ones. We know that in death, our soul draws closer to God than ever before. And death becomes the beginning of our life in eternity. And by sharing in the death of Christ, we overcome death. In Romans 6, verse 5, we read, "For if we have grown into union with Him through death like His, we shall also be united with Him in the resurrection." We grow in union with Christ by living our lives in the Spirit. In Romans 8, verse 13, we read, "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live." Living according to the Spirit gives us life. Partaking of the Eucharist also assures us that we can overcome death. In John verse 6, in chapter 6, verse 50, we read, "This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat it and not die. Whoever eats this bread will live forever." Whoever eats this bread will live forever. We believe this because we believe in the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist. So how should we look on our life after death? We should look to and have faith in Jesus' words throughout the Gospels. That's what God has given each of us through the Gospels, His Word, His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. For me, one of the most comforting and reassuring words of Jesus come from John 14, verses 1 to 6, which are usually often read at funerals. Jesus tells us, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You have faith in God. Have faith also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If there were not, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to myself, so that where I am, you also may be." Isn't that where we all desire to be someday? To be with God and His Son in His heavenly kingdom, where Jesus tells us a place has been prepared for us? The rich man in Luke's gospel this morning has died and finds himself in the netherworld, along with a poor man, Lazarus, who was carried away in peace to the bosom of Abraham. The rich man's suffering and torment observes this and realizes that both he and Lazarus have received in eternal life what was just for their actions on earth. The man implores Abraham to send Lazarus back across the chasm of life and death and warn his brothers so they may repent and escape the torment that he was experiencing. Abraham tells them that his brothers don't need to go back. They have Moses and the prophets with them. And if they haven't listened to them by now, they probably won't listen, even if someone should return from the dead. That same holds true for all of us. We have Jesus' words of everlasting life. If we are not following Jesus' words now, and our faith is not sufficient, what else would ease our transition from death to life that would bring peace to our souls? Do we really need an eyewitness account? Or is our faith sufficient? The problem, it seems, is that we sometimes have difficulty living these words of eternal life in a world filled with contradiction and skepticism. Without faith in Jesus' words and the resurrection, does our death in this world simply end our existence? Is it lights out? Period? Nothing? No, not at all. It's just the beginning. It's what we prepare our whole life for. It's what God created us for, to be with Him for all eternity.